Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for this congregation, Lord, and for our pastors as they are off preaching your word in another church, Lord. And we just ask this morning, Lord, that you would bring this word in a timely manner, Lord, that hearts would receive it this morning, Father God, and that it would be a word that you have for someone here or all this morning. And that we could all relate to this word, Father God, and that we would take something today that we learned and run with it, Father, and that we would seek you a little closer this morning. Lord, that you would lead and guide our paths. Father, you would be the king of our hearts, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning's title is Don't Let Your First Love Wither. And not the first love for your partner, maybe, but the first love for God is what I'm speaking of this morning. You know, it's hard when you prepare a message for your brothers and sisters and not to feel a little hypocritical when you come up with certain thoughts or certain ideas. And, you know, sometimes when others get up here in front of the pulpit, whether it be Leah or Paul or myself or even Pastor, no one's perfect. Sometimes we look at Pastor and we think, well, he doesn't sin, he doesn't make mistakes. But that's furthest from the truth. The Bible says we're all sinners and we all need the Lord. And, you know, Jesus was the only one that walked this earth that was perfect. And so I would say to you this morning that don't look at the person behind the pulpit, even when Pastor gets up here. They're bringing a word that the Lord's given them. And so that word is for each individual. It may be more for others than some. You just never know until that time comes and what's being preached from the pulpit. So there are many ideas and definitions on the phrase first love. Among some of them, the first person one loves romantically. Another one could be the thing, place, or activity of which one is fondest. Another definition of first love could be a person's most fundamental interest or attachment. There's another one, is a love that leaves an imprint on your heart forever. Could be a first love. But the one that I want to talk about and the one that might be most important this morning is the definition preceding all others in order of time, space, and importance. So when we think of our first love with God, we should be thinking he should precede all others in time, space, and importance in our lives. It's God that should be up on a pedestal. Not our friends, not our family, not our spouses. It should be God. Amen. When I was a child, I grew things. I quickly discovered at a young age that I had a green thumb. But if anyone's grown any plants in Arizona, you know that if you don't tend to it by watering or feeding it, that soon it'll wither and ultimately dry up and die. If forgotten about, our relationship with God is no different. If we are not placing importance on our love with our God, being in the Word, being in prayer, this is the same as watering and feeding the plant. We have to water and feed our soul with what God has for us. You know, it was funny when I was young and I learned that I could grow plants, and as summer approached and it got warmer, you'd notice the plants, you'd go out one morning and all of a sudden they'd look like they're dead. And you're like, oh man, what did I do? I've killed my plants. But then you quickly find out you water them, and within 30 minutes to 45 minutes later, they're all perked back up again. Wow, isn't that amazing? Give them a little water, and this is what happens. It's the same thing with our souls. If you're not watering, you're not going to the Lord daily with for a cleansing, you're withering, you're dying. Our first love will wither. If left unattended too long, eventually die. You see people that backslide. You hear about people that backslid and people that have walked away from the Lord. They didn't tend their first love. John writes in the first few chapters of Revelation about the seven churches of Asia. We all heard of them. The loveless church, the persecuted church, the compromising church, the corrupt church, the dead church, the faithful church, the lukewarm church. But do you know which one of these that he expounded on first? Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, if you'd open your Bible with me. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Mike, we'll put them on the overhead in a second. Let's read in chapter 2, starting with verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." In verse 4 it says, "Nevertheless, I have found this against you, that you have left your first love." That's sad to hear Jesus say, "You've left your first love with me." To the married couples this morning, I said, "Do you remember the passion you had for your lover? All the feelings and ideas of getting to know this other person that you were so attracted to? Then do you see how the world and things of this world and the cares and stresses, worries crept in and began to steal the first love that you had?" It's the same with God. All these same hindrances seek to come in and battle for a place in your heart. Simply put, if you are not growing, you're dying. It is not enough to be a good, caring, giving person with good moral and ethical values if in the process of life you lose your first love for him. You can claim to be a Christian, and you can do all those good things. You can come to church every Sunday. And by all rights, the people of this world look at you and they say you're a Christian. But the truth is, only God knows your heart. He knows those deep underlying places in your heart. You can put on a good facade. You can come to church. You can profess to be a Christian to those around you at work, in the workplace. And you could have lost your first love for Jesus. I remember growing up in church knowing God was never truly having a first love for him until I was a young teen. God finally broke through that hard shell around my heart. It was that familiar story that so many young people have about the time they went to church camp and really grabbed a hold of God. I know a lot of us have that story of when we were a teenager and went to church camp. And it's when God really found that place in your heart. You know, I guess I was blessed to grow up in church, but even growing up in church, you take it for granted that you profess to be a Christian. You go to Sunday school and you call yourself a Christian. And you know you're a Christian without a doubt. You've been saved. But there's still that deep love and commitment to the Lord that you have to establish in your heart. He's got to break through that outer wall and get in there and make his place in your heart. And that's the first love I'm talking about this morning. I remember the newfound love I had for our awesome Lord and Savior. I remember the thoughts and emotions of getting to truly know my God that I always knew of, but never really had a first love with. The excitement and enthusiasm that I had when I would go to him in prayer, read his word. Then I can also look back and see how the world crept in and tried in so many ways to steal my first love towards God. Examples: school, work, family, and other relationships. You know, as a teenager, you're so excited and ready to fall in love. You know, you see our hormones are all out of whack and going crazy, and we see, you know, the opposite sex either at Sunday school and church or at school. You know, you see this. You're attracted to the others, and you're dying to know who God has for you. You know, who's this love that the Lord's going to put in my life? And you lose sight of this relationship with the Lord, and it's unfortunate because as a young adult, that's when adolescence is when you really truly come to develop those new feelings and stuff. And so you have all these feelings and emotions for God, and God wants to have that place in your heart, but yet relationships begin to take place, and you begin to find, you know, that other, that significant other that might become your spouse one day. And what happens is you start to funnel all your attention and all your time and energy into this relationship you have with this person, and you grow further and further away from your first love with God. And God wants that first place in your heart. Now, He knows that all these are good. These families and relationships are good. Family, which He has ordained. Schoolwork, all these necessities of life. It's just a matter of how you rank your priorities. And that's where it comes in, as we talked about in the beginning of the message. First love, preceding all others in order of time, space, and importance. So you see, if this is all out of whack, then most other things in your life will surely be out of balance also. You certainly can't put God in the back burner and then expect all other things and people in your life to be in order. You can't walk away from that first love with the Lord and develop other relationships with others, or pour yourself into work or school or what have you, all those other ideas that keep you away from God. You can't do that and put God in the side burner, because then everything's out of balance in your life. And if things are out of balance in your life, you're going to walk through life wondering, what am I doing? You know, and then those sins that get your attention from here to there, they're going to pull you further away from God. And soon enough, you'll have walls up around your heart, and you'll guard it from what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you, and you're going to walk down a different path. It leads to chaos. We become double-minded, faithless, carnally-minded Christians. Pastor's talked about it before, what it is to be a carnally-minded Christian. Like we talked about, you can call yourself a Christian, you can go through the actions and you can go through the words, but yet you're living carnally. Every day you go out and people don't know who you are. They think you're one person, but you're actually another. We certainly don't want others looking at us, much less following us. Besides, if we're not going somewhere, why in the world would anyone want to follow us? If we're not in a perfect relationship with the Lord and everything's out of balance, why would somebody want to follow us? How could we go to the streets and do street ministry or give out tracts and people say, well, this person, I see they live a good life and I want to be more like them, when everything's out of whack in your own life and they don't see the truth, the true God and Jesus and the lamp? You know, do we put our lamp behind a bush? No, we sing in a Sunday school. We put that under a bush? Oh no, we're going to let it shine. Let's read Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It would help if I turned there myself. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I often think of this scripture, and after being a member of this church, sitting under Pastor Mark as our shepherd for 20 years, this scripture can bring conviction. You know, you read a scripture like that and you're like, well, Sunday after Sunday we come and we hear Pastor Mark preaching. Pastor Mark, we all know, preaches a solid food word. Therefore, we should be able to, I don't want to use the word regurgitate, but I can't think of anything else. We should be able to bring that back up out of us, everything we've been taught, and be able to be teachers of the word ourselves. Are we still babes in Christ? Or do we need to... The question I have is, are we still babes in Christ? Or do we take up our cross daily and return to Him for a daily cleansing? Remember our definition of first love, preceding all others in order of time, space, and importance. When I ask others at the men's meeting, when do they make time for God? The majority of them say first thing in the morning. And I believe that's a great answer. Are we not to give Him our first fruits? Whether that be with our tithing, which Paul talked about earlier, our first fruits, not what's left over. You know, after you buy top ramen and everything you need to get through the week. there's $2 left in your checking account? No, it's our first. It's our first fruit. That also does not only correspond to our tithing, but it goes with our time also, our personal time. We need to give the Lord the best of our time, the first fruit. And for most of us, that is morning. Some of us are not morning people, so maybe our best time to be with the Lord is in the evenings. I don't know. That's a personal question that you need to ask yourself. But this is when, in the mornings, I believe this is when our minds are fresh. For some of us, the cares of the world and cares of the day might bog us down. By the time nighttime comes, it's just God's been pushed out. We want to sit in front of the television and let our minds be consumed with whatever's entertaining at the time. This morning you may be asking yourself, have I indeed lost my first love for Him? If so, it's really easy to approach Him with childlike faith and simplicity. Having faith in God is not knowing everything. It's putting total control and trust in Him. Let me give you a few scriptures. You can write them down if you want to. We're not going to turn to them. Most of you have probably read them before. The first one would be 1 John 4, verse 4. It says, "You are a God. You are of God. Little children have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." In Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, it says, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Let's turn to our last scripture, Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 1, reading through verse 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him on his midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." So it says there is no greater than another. He simply wants and desires our first love. It's simple, childlike faith that He wants from us. Our human minds gain wisdom through time, and we make it complicated. The Bible says, "Beware of wisdom." I believe God knew that as adults, we would try to complicate our relationship with Him. And that's why sometimes we need to be reminded of such scriptures. In Mark chapter 10, verse 15, it says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." So if you started to ask yourself this morning, is this me? Has my first love withered? He makes it real easy and childlike to rekindle that first love you desire to have with Him. Or are you here this morning and you are simply trying to get by in this life day to day? Maybe days go by and you don't even have a thought of this God that I speak of. Maybe you've never had a first love with this powerful, awesome God that you have heard so much about. Then these scriptures are for you as well. Begin to ask God in your private time to give you this passion and hunger for Him that you've never known of. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that as you begin to walk down this path with God, that you will begin to see changes. Slow at first, and you will receive attacks from the enemy of your soul, because for so long you have been right where the devil wants you, lacking faith as a child to change the heart and to conform you to the man or woman that God truly wants you to be. Maybe this morning you don't even remember how or what to pray. Again, it's simple childlike prayers that the Lord will hear from you. He is saying, "I once occupied first place in your heart, but now you have allowed other things to take my place." Have you lost your affection for Jesus? You know, we have a tendency to judge others. Sometimes, after Pastor Mark preaches a sermon, we try to look around and say, "Hey, so-and-so needed that message." Or, "So-and-so really could have used that message." I would say that if we weren't too busy judging others, that maybe we'd take a better look at ourselves. It's sometimes easy to shrug off a word for you, or push that word out of your heart. Sometimes if we let our love wither, it becomes easier to shun that still small voice that is so desperately trying to pinpoint those little black spots on our hearts. You know, those spots on our heart are like a cancer. A lot of times when they do cancer treatments, if they catch it when it's in stage one or stage two, they can cut it out, or they can give you chemotherapy and it eradicates it. And you could be cancer free for the rest of your life. Or, you know, they call it remission. Or it could come back and it could attack more severely. You know, the Bible says, and Jesus said in the New Testament, said that they swept the house clean of the demons. But then if you don't put Jesus to fill that void in your house, the demons come back sevenfold. And so those little spots in your heart that are small now, go back to your first love with the Lord, you can eradicate those. You can cut them out. And He can do surgery on your heart. However, if ignored, that cancer will spread like a plague the rest of your heart, till your heart becomes black and is no longer able to be touched, because you don't let it be touched. You put that wall up. I would encourage you to, as you seek out this first love that you've once had with the Lord, that you let Him eradicate those black spots in your heart, those places that no one knows about, not even your spouse. Begin to let Him do surgery. Cut those spots out so that your heart can begin to grow back new and fresh and rekindle that first love you had for the Lord. Has God been trying to speak to you? Has He been trying to get your attention? Sometimes He gets your attention in more ways than one. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes years can go by and you can feel like there's a black cloud above your head. Everywhere you go, that black cloud follows you. And you think, why is God attacking me? That's not God that's attacking you. He's trying to get your attention. He's always got a hedge of protection around you. But as you read in the book of Job, that the devil wanted to attack Job, and Jesus said, go ahead. And all these things happened to Job. He had a severe black cloud above him for a long time. But do you know, after that black cloud departed and Job rekindled that first love for God, God restored everything. Do you remember the end of the book of Job? How God brought back everything tenfold. Does He precede all others in order of time, space, and importance in your life? What did Jesus say He had against the loveless church? He said that you have left your first love. This morning, by no means am I telling you that you are not saved. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, each person is to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. That's for no other man to judge. However, I'm asking you this morning, has your first love withered? In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind daily, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you've left your first love for the Lord and you're not seeking Him daily for that cleansing that we all so much need, for we'd establish that no one's perfect. The Word says, no man is perfect. We're all sinners. We all need a daily cleansing. If you don't have that first love and you can't restore that first love in your heart with God, how is He going to transform your mind from the cares of this world? How are you going to follow out His will that is acceptable and perfect? I would say to you that you won't be able to fulfill His will in your life if you can't maintain that first love that He has, that you have for Him, and He has for you. We need to be renewing our minds daily by putting God first, preceding all others in order of time, space, and importance. This morning, I know it wasn't a long word. It's what the Lord gave me for you. Paul, would you come forward? If y'all would stand. I would encourage you to examine your hearts this morning and go back to your first love. Ask God for grace and strength to begin again to guard your affection for Him. You know, sometimes, well, all the time, we get up and life is just so routine. We get up and tomorrow morning, most of us are already thinking this morning already, oh gosh, tomorrow's Monday already, I got to go back and I got to go out into the heat. I got to paint a house. It's hot. I'm going to be sweaty, miserable. And we focus on this world so much. It captivates our attention so much that we just lose sight of God. We concentrate on getting through the week. We're like, man, if I can just make it till Friday and have another weekend where I can sit in the air conditioning, relax, just watch TV and vegetate, not think about a thing. But I don't believe that's what the Lord wants from us. There is a time for entertainment. There's a time for work. God's ordained a time for family. This is all true, and these are all things that are good in this world. But when they captivate and steal so much of our attention that we have no more time for God and no more place in our heart for the Lord, then they become bad and they become sin. So this morning as Paul begins to play, I just ask you to examine your heart and ask that the Lord would give you back this first love. Begin to rekindle that romance with the Lord, that fire, that passion you had for Him when you first got saved. Ask that the Lord would guard your affection for Him. Affection meaning that love and all that attention that He deserves in your heart. You know, God brought us out of a wretched world. He saved us. He died on the cross before He even knew us. Doesn't He deserve that attention and that affection from us? That first love? If that's you this morning, you've lost your first love and you feel like you're so far from it, how would the Lord take me back? Well, we read a bunch of scriptures. It's childlike faith that the Lord wants from us. You know, children don't put a lot of thought into coming down the aisle and getting saved. We should be the same way. If we've lost that first love for Him, it's really easy to come right back to Him again. So this morning as Paul plays, if you feel like you would want me to pray with you, maybe to rekindle that first love that He had for you. If there's other issues in your heart this morning, I ask you to come up for prayer and I'll pray with you. We'll turn off the mic so others can't hear.